Never settle for less. Although it's highly unlikely you'll find a show with less than Robin and Maynard.
Hey, it's time to it's time to play some hot rock. Are you ready?
What do you have, Robin?
Edgar Winter.
Let's hear it. You know, it's been so long.
Wait a minute, is this right?
It's
the aroma of Tacoma takes your breath away.
Oh yeah, that's
it. You can smell it when you're 14 miles away.
You just played the wrong side. Here, I'll flip it. Flip
you
want to
flip
you.
That over? Oh, that,
yeah,
that's
there you go.
I never heard the B side.
You just had the wrong side.
All right.
Robertino, you have some actual advantages to being a crack hoe? Really? Hello, Robertino. We've received a lot of emails.
Buenas tardes, Robertini.
Buenas tardes, Robertino. A lot of emails flooding into the studios.
Okay.
Robertino. Stop Robertino.
My God, it must end.
But nothing can stop the mighty Robertino. And what are some of the advantages to being...
Free rides from Hugh Grant.
Now, what is the topic again?
These are some top advantages of being a crack hoe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And you get a free ride from Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. Hey. You still have a psoriasis, but thanks to the effects of the crack... No more heartbreak. You get a discount on a crack whore monthly.
Yeah.
Crack whore monthly?
Yeah, there you go, Robin. See, now you're catching up.
Thank you.
You are often flooded when people mistake you for corny love.
Don't corny who? Somebody corny.
There's never a mix up in a restaurant when the host call. Crack whore party of two.
I like that.
All right. Thank you, Robertino. Well, maybe we're a notch off today. Who knows?
Could be.
10 minutes before 4 o'clock. Hi, Paul. Is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Paul. Say hello to Robin.
Hi, Paul. I read your story about your story yesterday. Are you in Florida?
Yes, I am. Fort Pierce.
Fort Pierce. Okay, so you're a deep sea fisherman.
Yes, I am.
What were you fishing for the other day, Paul?
We were fishing for kingfish and dolphin.
You eat dolphin. I thought we were supposed to be dolphin safe. What's the story?
No. These are the mahi-mahi.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not flipper.
So you're down deep.
No, actually, we didn't hook it. There's been a lot of different reports that, you know, we hooked it and we reeled it in.
Yeah.
A human head floats?
Yeah. I was surprised, too. And, you know, we had saw some birds that were out there, and that's usually an indication of some activity out there. And when we pulled up next to the birds, we noticed something floating, and that's when we could identify it.
How far offshore?
We were 22 miles.
Was it a man or a lady?
It was a man's head.
Did it have hair?
No, it was a bald-headed individual.
So, but the skin was still on it.
Oh, yeah. Eyes were intact. In fact, when we pulled up there, all we saw was an ear floating upward. And everybody looked at each other and go, this is not what we think it is.
So you called the Coast Guard?
No. Well, you know, that was...
Paul, call the Coast Guard.
The story reads this way, and I'm paraphrasing, that you were out fishing, you caught a head, and that you threw it in a sack and kept on fishing.
Well, we fished on the way in.
God love you, man. You're a true fisherman. Yes, you are.
It had been out there for some time.
You knew it was no emergency. Just a guy's head.
The guy's dead.
How did he lose his head? What happened? How did he was decapitated?
I don't think it was decapitated. I believe it was eaten by sharks. I believe the whole... Because it was mangled from the neck down.
Yeah.
And you could see part of the spine. Hanging off of it. So it was one of those calls where you go, what do we do?
Why was it floating? I didn't think it would float.
I didn't think they would either.
Did you use the net?
We used a gaff.
You gaffed the head.
Tell me that's not true.
I can tell you.
You didn't use the net. You gaffed the head.
I didn't have a net.
This poor guy.
Where'd you gaff it?
Through the neck.
How many guys were in this boat?
My son, who's 17, and my coworker Jerry, who's my age. And that was the first thing. I looked at my son and said, Michael, are you all right with this? And he goes, Dad, don't worry about it. I work for a funeral home, remember?
So nobody was too flipped out?
No. And the other guy was a medic in the Army. So, you know, he says, hey, let's just pull the thing in. I mean, it's not like we're going to... You cause any problems here. It's been dead for some time. What's another couple?
Well, when you say sometime, what do you think?
It looked like it had been in there for a day or two or a couple days. I mean, it was all bleached out. There was fish still feeding on it. And,
right.
You know, I mean, what can you do? I mean,
nothing. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people would freak out, call the Coast Guard.
Call the Coast Guard.
I know. Well, they had found the body that morning.
But I thought you said the body was eaten by sharks.
No. They had found another body.
Oh.
There's been like five bodies found in the last 3 days.
So what they think there was something capsized.
Right. And, you know, and the guy that found the one in the morning called the Coast Guard, and he had to wait out there with the body for like two and a half hours.
And you knew that?
Come out.
And you knew that?
Well, no, I didn't know that. That's what we thought.
But when you call the Coast Guard, then you can't take off. You have to wait.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have a responsibility to wait.
Exactly.
Did you have a cooler on the boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was in the cooler?
We didn't put it in it. We put it in a bucket because we had.
No, but did you have some beers after you found the head?
Oh, you're not kidding.
Yeah. Well, I bet you would. I bet you a guy'd have a beer after that.
Well, what kind of a feeling did you have when you pulled the head in?
It was.
Now you have it in the boat with you.
It was quite the odor.
Were you kind of puckered up a little?
Yeah, I was a little taken by the odor at first, and then
it stunk.
Oh,
gosh, yeah.
Yeah, but so you put it in the cooler?
No, we had fish in the cooler, so we had a bucket on board, and we put it in.
Put it in a bucket.
This poor guy.
Well, that's okay. He doesn't miss his head now.
Well, no, right. But is that why you go through life to wind up in a bucket?
The way we saw it was. At least we have something that maybe they can identify.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, you know, I don't know. I thought we did the right thing.
You did. And to fish on your... You didn't turn around and go right back in, did you?
I think you were just a little cavalier about it.
Well, fascinating story. And I think every fisherman that we're in our audience... Of course, we're in a big fishing community here in Seattle.
Well, I think...
They all appreciate your work.
Yeah, they do. And the last guy that we talked to who was a fisherman brought up a carp that had a human thumb in it.
That was a shark that he brought in the thumb from. And here's another story for you before we let you go. Out of England today, this will make you feel better.
Okay.
A fellow who's a rugby player has had this pain in his arm, and couldn't figure it out, got an infection, and discovered that last month, just about exactly a month ago, somebody during one of the matches lost their tooth inside of his arm muscle.
Wow.
And so they had to dig that out. So, you know, no big thing with you.
Well,
okay.
I did get a call today from the FBI.
Good.
And they did.
They want you to go out fishing again soon?
Yeah, no.
But
no,
they do.
They commend us for what we did.
Hey, Paul, thanks for being on with your story. Incredible, but true. And don't forget tonight, 8 o'clock, on Biography, Charles Bronson. Charles Bronson. Where are you going now, Charles?
Now I'm going down to Emmett's Fix-It Shop. To fix Emmett.
That clip was so dramatic, I didn't want to interrupt. It's Rick Jones here, reminding you that at 1-800-DIVORCE, we'll connect you directly to Goldberg Jones. Thank you.
Now I'm going down to Emmett's Fix-It Shop. To fix Emmett.